Didn't Cameron do an amazing job on that? That's so awesome. Yeah, I love it. Thank you. Our media team is just awesome. We are very blessed with their incredible work. We're starting a new series for both all the those who will be following, both at Sunbury as well as here in Milton. We're pretty excited. We have actually a friend who's going to be with us, both on Sunbury campus and also in Milton. On our last day, he will be given away, both in these services, first and second, and up in Kids Way, both Milton and Sunbury, they will be giving one away as well, two in our first service, two in our second service on the last Sunday. And so we'll have you kind of sign up and pull names if you'd like to take this little orca home with you as a reminder of this particular series. It's such a fun series to be able to illustrate. As you can see, we are seeing all of this in our background as well as what is here. So they've done some pretty awesome things. We're excited, and it's more than fun. I really believe that as you're hearing all that we're going to be talking about in regard to Jonah, I really believe that God's going to speak to your hearts in fresh ways that you need to be able to understand this in a whole new perspective that maybe you just never thought of before. I am a little intimidated by the people who've done the precepts on Jonah, which means they've done an intensive Bible study. And so how many of you did that? Can I see your hands? Ooh, they're all up in the front too. Oh, a few over here. Phew. But they're really ready for me. I can see that. And so we're looking forward to exactly what God's going to speak to each of our hearts. Jonah, Man on the Run is what if I've titled the sermon series, God's Grace and His Unrelenting Pursuit. You're going to see that as that comes to pass. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. In Christ's name. Amen. There are a number of things that we're going to see. This particular week, we're talking running from God. So each week, I'm talking about a different concept. We'll be taking one chapter each week. And so this is only 4 weeks. So I would encourage you to read chapter 2 for next week. That'll help you be prepared and be thinking in regard to all this. In Jonah chapter 1, it says, get up, this is the words of God to Jonah, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. Got up and went in the opposite direction. Maybe you'll understand that just a little bit more as we continue to talk about that. First, the Lord gave a message to Jonah. So he gave this message to him very specifically, and realistically, he heard this word very clearly, but he wasn't really willing to follow. And here's what we know, and here's what we understand. We see that the story of Jonah has been disputed by many liberals who did not believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this word, inerrancy, it means the word that we have is without error in the original manuscripts. Okay, without error in the original manuscripts. And in the word that we have, as far as scripture, we have 25,000 pieces of original manuscripts. More than any other document that time or any time around that time. I mean, we're talking only like hundreds of documents for some of the other things that we look at historically and believe. But the Word of God, which is disputed, has 25,000. So realistically, help you understand that we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. Now, prior to that time, liberals did not believe. They thought the story of Jonah was just like a story. It wasn't real. It was just some kind of nice story to kind of communicate a message, but it really didn't really happen because they couldn't even find Nineveh. So because they couldn't, the only place that talked about Nineveh was the Bible. And so they discounted that as well. But in 1849, archaeologists unearthed Nineveh. Now what do we do? And so that's what we understand, because archaeology supports scripture as well. We also see that Jonah was a Jew, born in the small town of Gath-Hefner near Nazareth. So that helps you to understand exactly where Jonah was and how he received that. Basically, kind of a small town that would have been. The story of Jonah took place around 765 B.C., while Jeroboam II was king of Israel. So if you're looking at Old Testament and you're seeing a little bit more of this, that gives you a little bit more understanding. Nineveh became the capital of Assyria. And so we're talking about Iraq, that kind of area, that as far as in the world. So maybe it'll bring in some familiar thoughts that are a part of this as well. It was the most powerful empire of that day. The population was certainly over 120,000. This would have been a pretty large, it would have been, at that time, would have been a very large city. There were times that it actually doubled in size from this number. And there's kind of a lot of different thoughts as far as how many. But this is like, we know for sure that's what they would project. So it could be even much more than that. Nineveh was a wicked city, and the Assyrians had a reputation for cruelty. Now, the brutality was gross and disgusting, but I felt like I needed to say this because this is exactly what was taking place. The atrocities would include skinning people alive, decapitation, mutilation, ripping out tongues, making a pyramid of human heads, piercing the chin with a rope, and forcing prisoners to live in kennels like dogs. So we're talking some pretty horrible kinds of existence that was possible. Like that decapitation and some of the brutality, does that like sound familiar even to us as of recent? Certainly does. That's exactly what was happening then as well. When you hear that, don't you kind of say, you know, I guess the world has always been evil. There's been evil that existed. I mean, we see it today and we think, oh man, can it get any worse? Well, yeah, it could. There's some incredible things. Now, the Syrians had no use for the Jews, and the Jews hated the Assyrians. They hated their bloodthirsty cruelty, their idolatry, and their arrogance. And so that was very much a part. Could I just say this? There was extreme prejudice that existed at that time. Extreme prejudice. The prejudice against anyone outside of the Jews. The Jews held prejudice toward anyone, and there was prejudice against the Jews as well that existed. So as we look at this, I want you to understand God hates prejudice. God hates prejudice. And so if that is something that you struggle with, I would say you better be working on it, because God hates prejudice. That means of color, of differences, of whatever it is that would make us unlike anyone else. God hates it. And so you need to make sure that you are practicing an inclusive mentality. If you find that you have prejudice against any racial group, any particular group of people, without knowing them, see, that means that you have prejudged them. You have already made a choice about what you think they are or their value before you ever know them. That's called prejudice. It's not appropriate for us to make jokes about it. It's not appropriate for us to talk about it in a disparaging way. We, as believers and followers of Christ, have unconditional love for all of those in our world. And we need to make sure that that's practiced by every one of us. And we need to make sure. And so I intentionally try to see, when I see someone who does not look like me, or I think does not think like me, I intentionally try to show them the love of Christ, because that's what we're called to do. Amen? Yeah, I think we should. And that's why we have to understand, whenever we look through Scripture, you will see God hates prejudice. So there's no room for it. And that's why we have to be cautious about how we express that and how we are showing the love of Christ to those in our world. Now, the Assyrians had no use for the Jews, and so that was certainly true. Ultimately, God would destroy Nineveh through the words of the prophet Nahum 150 years later. So, see, both Nahum and Jonah talked about Nineveh, and then when it was discovered, it reinforced everything that was said prior to that. Now, in 2014, here we go, ISIS destroyed what was believed to be Jonah's tomb outside of Mosul, which is in Iraq, as they didn't want to share anything with Christians or Jews. Here's what. Every year, the Jews read the story of Jonah on Yom Kippur. Every year. My son-in-law is Jewish, and so I asked him, I said, hey, do you really read the story of Jonah every year at Yom Kippur? And he went, yep, sure do. So that's part of that. We also know that we as Christians believe the Bible, and we read it. Hopefully, you're reading it on a regular basis. And third, it's in the Quran. And the story of Jonah is in the Quran. Huh, how about that one? You didn't know that. The reason ISIS destroyed it is because they did not want to share anything with Christians and Jews. Sad, very sad, as far as how all of that would go. Now, here's the ultimate. Jesus verified the story of Jonah in his words in Matthew. So, here's what he said. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Now, if you say, I'm not sure I really believe that Jonah stuff, then you're saying Jesus lied. Because this is the ultimate verification. So, you either accept them both, or reject them both. There's no way around it. That's as simple as it gets. Because you can't say, I believe Jesus was a good man and he said lots of good things historically, but he lied about that Jonah stuff. You have to accept it all, because when Jesus verified this in Matthew and he spoke those words, we have to come down to the point of saying, okay, I have to accept the Old Testament as truth as well as the New Testament. Now, next week, we'll talk even about a whale that swallowed a man. Pretty interesting in contemporary history as well. Now, let me say this, God's will for Jonah. Let's talk about that. God's will for Jonah, here's what God said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. Now, this is not a good message to take to these kind of people. You just heard what they do to people. And so God said to Jonah, I want you to go give them a message. I know they're not going to be real happy about it. And usually they kind of skin people or decapitate them or something like that. But that's what I'd like you to do. Is it any wonder why Jonah headed the opposite direction? Now think about it. If God is putting you in a place that is way, not, we're not talking comfort zone, we're talking way past. Now, we also know that Jonah had prejudice. We'll see that as we walk through this. But that was also true. But no way would you want to move in this direction. Jonah ran in the opposite direction of God's direction for him. It was like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't go. Are you kidding? Lord, do you know what they do to people there? The fact is, Jonah went down instead of up. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the boat. He went down to the sea. He went down into the belly of a great fish. Jonah went down instead of up. Nineveh was 500 miles away, 300 miles north of Baghdad, just outside of Mosul. Tarshish was 2,000 miles away, near Spain, 2,500 miles the wrong way. Look at this map that gives you a little bit more direction as what you can see. Over here is Joppa. Here is the town of Geth Hafer, where he was born. He got the message. Instead of traveling up to Nineveh, he traveled, got on a boat at Joppa and traveled all the way over to Tarshish. Now, that was like near Spain. That would have been over here. He definitely was not headed in the right direction. This was no mistake. This was no like, maybe I should stall for a little while and take a little trip before I go ahead and do this. No, he was running as fast as he could. Interestingly enough, he found right at that moment a ship that was headed that way, that was going that way. Interestingly enough, he must have had enough money to get on the ship. And, you know how we rationalize our circumstances? You know how we say, oh, this must be God because all of this worked out. This must be how God was directing because, you know, look at all the things that work together. So he goes down, and there's a ship that just happens to be headed the opposite direction. He just happens to have enough money to do this. And so, you know, he would have rationalized and said, well, Lord, I guess you must have changed your mind, because look how all this has worked out. Now, don't we do that? We want our own way, and so what do? We rationalize all of the circumstances to say, see, this was God. But Jonah was walking in disobedience. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Now, God sent a storm. So he wanted to make sure he got Jonah's attention. What does this say? But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. It was pretty scary at that point. And so what we see happening, Jonah's choice impacted others. You see, he made this decision not to follow. And what happened as a result? All of the others had to suffer too. Sometimes we say, well, why would I have to suffer because of their choices? But God has given free will. And even though he's going to work to help us to stay on the track, it may impact others by how we've chosen. And we can't change those things. But all of them were impacted because, fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship because they thought, we're all going to die. What do we do? Well, God sent someone to Jonah to speak truth. Let me say, God's going to send someone into your life to speak truth. The issue is whether you're going to listen or not. And do you know what? It doesn't always come from the likely sources. You may have someone who is not a believer, is not a Christian, but they actually, God could speak through them to your life of what you need to do. That's why we need to really listen to the voice that's spoken to us, and however it comes, we need to value it. Is this something that God wants to speak to my heart? Sometimes we're just angry and frustrated with what people would share, and we don't give thought and process to it. Because here at this point, this certainly was not a Christian or a believer of God or follower of the true God. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold, Now you see how far he had to travel, so you know that he was trying to sleep. But sometimes people try to sleep to get away from things too. Sometimes, you know, in like depression, they'll just sleep a lot because I don't want to deal with things. So we have to be cautious. Well, so the captain went down after him. Captain's not a follower of the true God. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Now, he didn't even recognize who the true God was, but he still recognized that there's a problem here and we got to do something and nobody should be asleep. So what happens? God exposes Jonah's disobedience. He exposes it to everybody. And so what do we see? Then the crew cast lots to see. That's something that was practiced. In fact, that was a New Testament practice also, as they selected the other disciple, if you'll remember. So to see which of them had offended the God and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Like, tell us everything. We want to know about this. And so what happens? God's hand of protection that had been on Jonah was changed to a hand of correction. Because Jonah needed to hear the truth. And there are times, you know, God's hand of protection is on us. Sometimes he has to remove it to a hand of correction so we understand that he wants us to be able to know truth. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. That was the problem. God's kindness provided a great fish. You see, God wasn't finished with Jonah. He didn't want him just to drown. He had more for him to do. So he provided a way out. God is wanting to do that for every one of us. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights, exactly what Jesus said in Matthew. God used even Jonah's sin to bring men to him. So what happened as a result? You see, Jonah could have rationalized, because he could have rationalized the circumstance and say, see, this was all part of God's plan. Because, see, people came to Christ as a result of that, or people came to God as a result of that. He could have rationalized that way. But we know better. We know better. That wasn't God's plan. But God can use all things together for the good. Even when we fail, even when we make mistakes, even when we sin, even when we mess up, God can still use it if we will sincerely desire to follow him. Here's what happened. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. So even though Jonah sinned, it was not God's plan for him to do this. It was not that way. God is able to work through whatever is a part of your past and bring people to Christ when you're willing to submit to his will. Amen? It's good news for all of us. It's good news for all of us. So, what is your Nineveh? What is your Nineveh? I want you to think about that, because you see, God's will for every one of us will always cause some kind of sacrifice. It will always cause some kind of pain that may be a part of our lives. What is God calling you to do that is out of your comfort zone? You see, God was calling Jonah, to do something that was out of his comfort zone. It was not within what he wanted to do or what he thought, but God's will was for him to move in that direction. What he had to believe was, if I go to Nineveh, God, and you're calling me to do this, I would believe that you're calling me and you're going to protect me. And I know it's not happened in the past, and I know other people have lost their lives, but I believe if this is your will, then you're going to work through it. And sometimes we have to just thrust ourselves into God's will and trust Him with the results. What is God asking you to do that you really don't want to do? Because I believe that there are times in our lives and circumstances and situations where we would say, well, that's not really what I wanted to do. But God's calling us to that. You know, I have to tell you very honestly, when we moved to Milton, we moved here my senior year of high school. That was only a few years ago. I came from the Allentown area prior to that, and we had malls and stores and all kinds of things, activity, and we moved to Milton. And I remember saying to my dad when we drove down the street, I said, are we going to really live here? He said, yes, we are. And I thought, now I have to tell you, this will really date me. I'll ask how many of you remember. TV used to go, we had three channels. Like, we didn't have all the channels we have now. We had three channels. TV used to go off the air at 2 o'clock. How many of you remember that? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Others are looking at you going like, really? And they played the national anthem before it went off. Every night. Yeah. Here's what I also remember when I came to Milton. The radio played the national anthem at 5 o'clock and went off. And I was like, what? I thought, I never want to live in Milton. My father and I were very, very different people in how we handled life and work and everything. So I knew I never wanted to work with my dad. And of all, I knew I never wanted to be a pastor. That was my Nineveh. God knew exactly where to put me, exactly where I needed to be, and exactly what He was going to do. The fact is, every one of us has a Nineveh in our lives. Where is God calling you to respond that may appear like danger or a place of hurt? Some place that you think, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm comfortable in doing that. I'm not sure I'm comfortable in serving in that place. I'm not sure I'm comfortable in going there. I'm not sure I can trust God to tithe because, like, we have so many bills and I can't do this. I'm not sure that I can really believe that God wants to use me in a place like that. I think I've done serving enough in my life. I think it's time for someone else, and so I'm pushing that someplace else. I don't have time for church every week because we have so many demands. We have lots of excuses that are a part of our lives that keep us from following the will of God. But let me say this, God loves you so much, He's not willing for you to continue in that pathway. And He's going to send something big to help you see, I need to trust Him with His will. And He wants you to know that it's not because He doesn't love you, it's because He does love you. What is God's will for your life, and have you been running from it? Here's what Scripture says. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. May He equip you with all that you need for doing His will. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He wants to work through every one of us. If God has been speaking to your heart this morning, and you've said, wow, there are things in my life that I've kind of been running from God. I need to get this right. I need to seek after His will. I'm not sure what His will is. Maybe that's the case, and I want to know His will for my life. I want to be following it. I want to be right in the middle of where he wants me to be. And God's been speaking to your heart. Would you just stand right where you are? I want to pray for you in closing. God's been kind of speaking to you, prompting you to think, I need to be in his will. And I know that he's calling me to do something that I'm not necessarily comfortable with. He's calling me to do something that is a little bit risky for me. He's calling me to do something that is just a challenge in my life. But I want to be in his will, and I want to be in the place where he can use me. And so I'm saying yes to you this morning, and you're standing right where you are. Amen. Let me pray for you in closing. Father, thank you for loving us that much, that you won't let us go. You won't let us wander. You won't let us go into a place where you've not already gone. If you've called us in whatever capacity, whatever area, whatever way, then Lord, we want to be faithful to follow. Lord, I don't know what you're speaking to each heart and life this morning, but I know that you do. And I know you've prompted hearts and thoughts and minds to say, yes, I need to be in the place where you can use me. I don't know my future, the direction, and what's ahead, but I'm trusting you that you know exactly what I need. I think of graduates, and I think of you that are going forward in life and thinking, what am I supposed to do? God's got a plan, and he wants to work it in your life, but you have to put yourself in the place where he can do that. Father, I ask that you would use each one of us to accomplish all that you want. Could we all stand together? Father, go with us. Help us as we continue to work through the story of Jonah. Help us as we continue to hear all that you want to do in each of our lives, that we would trust you for the future. We would trust you for all that you would do. We love you and we give you our praise. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless. Go with you.